Narbod vijay paradurachaya vaitaranyas tvad virya gayana mahamrita magnachitta shoche tato vimukacheta sa indriyartha maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. Lord Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Lord Nrsingadev, O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Purport: throughout the entire world, everyone is making big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they've all been described herein as vimudha, fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into sukkhalayam, a place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakrite kriyamana ani, gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimutatma kartaham iti manyate. There's a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands, with different types of weapons to punish them. She's carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance and conquer material nature. But at the end, everyone is vanquished by nature's laws. Om Jnana Timiran Tasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpitarubhyascha Kripasindhobhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Naivod Vijay Paradurachaya Vaitaranyas Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magnachitta Shochetato vimukachetasa indriyarta maya sukaya param udvahato vimuta. The change that the materialists are trying to make is different. They want to change the material world from dukkhaliya to sukhaliya. They're seeking to change their position. They don't have enough money, or they don't have enough sex, or they don't have enough this, or they don't have the right kind of sex, or they don't have the right kind of house, or they don't have the right kind of job, or they don't have... Something has to change. They don't have the right kind of society. The world has to change. If they're very philanthropic, they want to get rid of hunger. What was we saw on the road today? Something.
442.
Yeah, there's something that you're going to create happiness by giving food to children. So they want to change poverty into prosperity. Something has to change to make this a better world. Either a better world for themselves or a better world for others, including themselves. And so they're trying to adjust, to make some plan, to have some campaign. But please don't shoot photos. Hello? It's distracting.
I'm sorry.
It's also distracting for you, because you're taking pictures and not listening. Talking about? Yeah, they want to make this a better world. So, because they're lacking in knowledge, they don't know that this world can't be made better. According to karma, a certain amount of happiness will be there, a certain amount of suffering will be there, and it can't be changed. What were we talking about before? Our Bhupen. One of our congregational members, his wife, very young sort of couple, and very dynamic pair. And his wife was killed in an automobile accident. So his whole life changed. Not within our control. Nothing is within our control, actually. We're thinking that we can control the material world. But at any time, everything can be completely changed, reversed. Oh, we're thinking we'll make this a better world. When has it been made better? Suppose America is better. We have better machines, better conveniences. But people's lives are not better. People's lives are not better. They're in the same anxiety or more. Maybe they're not in the same miseries, they're in different miseries. The details differ. But the same quotient of misery is there for everyone, regardless of our material advancement, our material efforts. These things can't be changed by any material adjustment. The body is going to be subject to birth and death, old age and disease, and nothing can be done about that. Nothing can be done about that. Hare. Then someone says, you're very callous, you don't care about people's Hare Krishna. People's welfare. You're pessimistic, you're fatalistic. But Prahlad Maharaj says no. First of all, for my own life, I can be happy at any time. Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Tradvirya, I can chant about your powerful glories at any time. And Mahamrita Magnachit, I can merge into the great ocean of nectar by chanting. But Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magnachit. How much nectar is there from chanting the glories of the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord? Can't be measured. And Prahlad Maharaj is the practical example. Even though harassed in so many ways by his father, Hiranyakashipu, he was always feeling blissful, Prahlad. Always feeling transcendental happiness. Because he realized that Krishna is present in his glories. As soon as the glories of the Lord are chanted, the Lord is there, the transcendental sound, and the devotee can realize his presence. Of course, the Lord is always present. But by transcendental sound, his presence is manifest, realized. So that, so the devotee feels transcendental happiness, but at the same time, he feels unhappiness for others. Sho chaitato, vimukha chaitasa. Prahlad Maharaj says, I feel sorry for those who've turned their faces away from you. Vimukha chaitasa. Indriyarta. And they've become servants of their senses. Turning away from the personality of Godhead, the source of actual happiness. They're trying to be happy by gratification of the senses. Vimukha chetasa indriyarta. And the senses will, earlier Prahlad Maharaj says, they're like a man with five wives. The tongue is pulling him one way, the ear is pulling him another way, the sense of touch wants to touch something. All of the senses are pulling him this way, that way. So he's like a man with five wives, or many wives. One wife is pulling, come on, let's enjoy. Another, come on, let's enjoy. Come on, let's enjoy. Poor guy's getting pulled in every direction. What enjoyment will he have? Well, he's being pulled. We're being pulled by the senses. Come on, enjoy. Come on, enjoy. And I have to serve the senses and undergo so much trouble on that account. Enjoyment means trouble. The wife says to the husband, come on, let's go out and enjoy. And the husband knows that means go out and spend money. So for the gratification of the senses, we have to go through so much trouble. That's a fact. Working very hard for the sense gratification, both individual and extended. Prabhupada says, working hard to maintain their bodies, their families, their countries, society. All of this involves bhadam. Bhadam means a great burden. It's a great burden. For the sake of sense gratification, I accept a burdensome way. People are living in cities which are so troublesome, and working very hard for happiness. Maya Sukha. Maya Sukha means illusory happiness. Maya Sukhaya Bhadam. Udvahata. They're accepting such a great burden, the form of work. And the work, half the time you're working for the government because you're paying taxes, working so hard. Work means first I have to pay for my petrol, I have to pay for my taxes, I have to pay for so many other things associated with working. Great burden. And just for getting some money. And the money doesn't make anyone happy. Rather, we create more trouble. Our inventions bite us. They come back and cause us more trouble. Simple example, we heard when email came into existence, we heard that it was going to make work so much easier, and every office was going to become so much more productive. And now anyone who's in business knows that the opposite is true, that the employees are less productive. That email is like a great burden. Before, if someone wanted to send you a letter, they had to go through the trouble of writing it, finding the envelope, putting on the stamp, sending it, knowing it would reach you maybe 3 days later, 5 days later. Now they can send you a message instantly, so whatever comes in their head, they write you, and then they expect an answer back within the next 3.5 seconds. Otherwise, they write a follow-up letter. Did you get my first letter?
Send you a reminder.
Fortunately, it is a situation we can't even get rid of it. We can't even think without living it.
Yeah, no one can imagine how like, even you see people, they're on the airplane, and they're itching. When will the door open so that I can take out my BlackBerry?
And now every service is giving hi-fi with Wi-Fi.
High-fry.
Exactly, high-fry. So you pay the dollar and you get even the air too. It's part of the life now.
Now it's part of the life. Madhupati, your next door neighbor, doesn't have a computer. He's a happy man. Says my children have it, my grandchildren. I never wanted to get one. So he's happy, he's gardening and doing other things. He doesn't have to worry about email and so many things. But we've made our life more productive and more. More full of anxiety. More full of anxiety. Small example. When there's so many examples, small and big. The car was going to be so convenient. And now we're fighting petrol wars. And wondering why the air is unfit to breathe.
Byproduct. Effect.
Prahlad Maharaj says that what they're doing to cure the disease is making the disease worse. To alleviate the disease, they have some treatment which causes more pain. Now, this is the nature of material world. We try to make it a better world, and the things that we do to make it better make it worse. There's always some. It can't be escaped because it's certified, dukkhali. And even if someone says, no, it's nice, I like it, we have made it better, then ashashvata. You can't stay. You get kicked out of your nice world. And nothing can be done about that. And where they're going next, that they don't know. or they don't even know that there is a next destination, because passion and ignorance, so bewildered. So material adjustment, Prahlad Maharaj says elsewhere, they're taking the burden off of one shoulder and they're shifting it to the other shoulder. That's all. And this is advancement. Yes, now it's not on our right shoulder anymore. No, what have you done? No, it's on my left shoulder. This is the progress. Now, Prahlad Maharaj directly calls them vimudha. Big fools. Not just mudha. Vimudha. Big fools, because they've turned away from Krishna. And they're trying to be happy with Maya. Mm-hmm. Right. And no amount of material adjustment within Maya will make them happy. There's a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds. And one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivi esha gunamayi mamamaya duracaya. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word, duracaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they've been described as vimudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy. For although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy. Whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious, yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Well, this is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, feeling unhappy to see others trying to be happy falsely, Maya Sukha. He sees them with their big smiles pretending to enjoy, and he knows that they're suffering like dogs. He knows, he sees them embarking on another plan for happiness, and he knows it's just foolishness. I was in Egypt just after they'd thrown out Mubarak. So some of my friends were there, young students, and they're jubilant that now we've thrown out Mubarak, so we can have a whole new show. Yeah, we can have freedom. And so soon afterwards they found out that it was all a show, that there was no actual revolution, that they'd only served the interests of the military government in getting rid of someone that they wanted to get rid of themselves.
They suffered more. They suffered more.
Yeah, they had a false hope So now they're back to basically where they started. The names have changed, the faces have changed, but they're in the same situation. Yeah, they suffered more, and their tourism went down, they're struggling to make a living. No one's life actually became better. Then they're slowly they realize we've been cheated again. This is Maya's arrangement. In why Egypt here also, you know, full of hope. Now we have a new young president who listens to you two and whoever you two is, and they're. What was it? Change? Every politician, they hope. Every change, every politician, if he's incumbent, he says we're going to keep the same goodness that you're getting now. And if he's fighting against the incumbent, he says we're going to bring about a change. This in the last 10,000 years, this hasn't changed at all. Politicians are always campaigning for change. The only change is, well, there's the change in your pocket that they're going to pick. And there's the change that instead of one rascal being in charge, now a new rascal will be in charge. Otherwise, and what difference does it make to us which rascal picks our pocket? Oh, it's the illusion of change. It's the illusion of change. But Prahlad Maharaj knows that by crossing over this ocean of material existence, by crossing to the other side, that's the real change. The change from the darkness of this material world to the light of the spiritual world. The change from being servant of the senses to being servant of Krishna's senses. Now we're trying to serve our senses, and the senses are not satisfied, and we're not satisfied. Because we're not meant to serve these senses. We're meant to serve Krishna. When we serve Krishna's senses, then our senses will automatically be satisfied. But when we try to serve our own senses, no one's satisfied. Even we try to serve the senses of others, our family members, our countrymen, they're not satisfied either. I go through so much trouble to satisfy my family members, and they're not satisfied. I go through so much trouble to satisfy my citizens, they're not satisfied. My party members, or whoever it is. Because no one's ever satisfied in this material world. So Prahlad Maharaj sees the urgency of giving others the mercy of Krishna. He's not simply a fatalist, nothing can be changed. But he's a realist, nothing in this material world is going to change. That's realistic. And the real change is to change our consciousness. That can be done. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Yurakema, Kalam Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva. That can bring about the real change. That can bring about the real change. Chaktva Deha, Deham Punarjanma. 90. Everyone has to change this body. And then we change for another body. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, then after changing from this material body, punarjanma nayati, he doesn't have to accept another material body. He goes back to Godhead. That's the real business of the human being, and that's where the real happiness comes. Or the happiness comes from seeing others become happy. The materialist feels unhappy when he sees others becoming happy. If people are happy and satisfied, that's a problem. Now they have no need to buy my products anymore. But the devotee feels happy to see others becoming happy. Of course, the philanthropist feels happy to see others becoming happy, but it's a false happiness. He sees others becoming materially happy temporarily, and he feels, yes, I've done something, I've made their life better. And he doesn't consider that everyone is still subject to the same miseries of material existence. So he's feeling happy, but that happiness is superficial. But the devotee sees that by Krishna consciousness, the actual change is taking place, the change of heart. It enables one to put an end to all miseries. And that's the real happiness. Okay, maybe I'll stop there, see what kind of changes there are. What kind of changes, what kind of questions there are.
Maharaj, you explained that real happiness comes, real change comes from chanting.
Mm.
When we chant the glories of the Lord, and then we enter into the nectar of happiness, and that's what we are looking for in the material world, and that's why we are trying to change the material world. So Maharaj, when we see, when we comes into devotional life, we really feels that change, you know, oh wow, everywhere it's bliss, and you know, Kirtan is so nice, and you know, so we really forgets about the way of changing materially, because we get spiritually that change or happiness. But as we go on the path of spiritual life, we start feeling that, you know, we are not getting that much happiness in our chanting now. We are not getting that much happiness.
Because you can't sit on it. You have to give it to others. Now you got it, and it's made such a difference. You're feeling happiness. Now if you think, I'll get more and more.
Exactly.
You have to distribute.
Then
you'll see others becoming happy, then you become happy.
Yeah.
Hmm. It has to be distributed. That's called, of course there's happiness just in our own bhajan. If one is very serious about bhajan, otherwise if we're not very serious about it, but if we're very serious about our bhajan, there'll be happiness. But Gosjanandis, the devotees who distribute Krishna consciousness, get pleasure from seeing others become Krishna conscious. And that's the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Maharaj, you have nicely explained the difference between philanthropist and the devotee when they feel happy. But my question is, I am associated with a couple of foundations in India which provide food for poor children and also education. So, I mean, what I'm saying is, if the children are spending their entire day in earning food, when will they get chance to think about Krishna? If they don't have
If they get education and money, then they'll also have no time for thinking of Krishna.
No, Maharaj. Now I'm educated, so I can think, yeah, there is higher purpose.
The uneducated person, I'll give you an example. We were walking through a field in Vrindavan, morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. Bunch of sannyasis and brahmacharis. So we were walking through this field, and as we were walking through the field, the farmer came out. And he was, you know, you could see he was a real farmer, gray cloth and, you know, calloused hands and simple, hardworking farmer. And he came out and he offered his dandavats in front of everyone. And he said in Hindi that it's a great fortune that you've come to bless our field. He said, actually, it's not my field, it's Krishna's field. And you're Krishna's devotees, so it's such a blessing that you've come. Oh, he's better educated than the greatest PhDs. He has no time, doesn't have a lot of leisure time, I'm sure. But he had transcendental knowledge, better than the best mundane scholars. He knows how to appreciate devotees, he knows how to serve Krishna. Otherwise, the more these people become educated, more people become educated, the more they become fools. He's only uneducated, he's only a mudha. And once he's educated, then vimudha. Now he thinks he knows so much.
But
women also. But now they're educated, so that they can be big fools. We have one, maybe some of you know, in Delhi, our, what's his name? Mahamantra. I don't know if you know our Mahamantra Das in Delhi. It's sort of a very extroverted person, and he's made friends with all the people in the government, and he can walk in there and shake their hand and talk about something and get his work done. So he's kind of a smooth, smooth talking, you'd say almost fast talking, slick kind of person in his capabilities in that way. Sort of sharp and, you know, can walk into any government office and make things happen. So he told me how he married his wife, and his wife is like a simple village girl. Simple. And he told me how he got married, that her father approached his father, then his father said to him, you know, such and such girl is there. So he asked, is she educated? Father said no. He said, I'll take her.
What is the reason?
Reason is that she's educated, then she thinks she's God's gift to the world. Now she knows everything. No one can tell her anything. And she'll be completely unfit for the simple service of being a wife, being a mother. No, now she has to be a business executive and she has to do so many things. So he knew the more she becomes educated, the more she becomes a rascal. So she's uneducated. Good. I'll take her.
It won't sink into our brain that we start complaining about speech.
That's why we have to keep hearing it more.
Like, for example,
Prabhupada banged this into our head because he knew that more you go on banging, but still, if anyway you go on banging, maybe something will sink in finally.
Like, for example, you travel, Prabhuji said you came here from Brazil, so it must be total different weather there in Brazil, and all of us in Richmond might be totally different. But for us, if the temperature is about 2 degrees centigrade, we are almost dying. So how do we get control? How do we try to get that calmness? and try to focus on Krishna.
You have to tolerate.
Practice.
Now it's too hot, later it will be too cold. Some other time it will be neither here nor there. There's trouble wherever you go.
Probably we just have to realize that nothing is permanent, it's going to change. So today
yeah.
is this and tomorrow it's going to
change. Agama payano nityas. Krishna says it comes and goes.
Yeah.
But if you get rid of this trouble, you'll have some other trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. The statement you made, it's a profound statement. Dukalayam ashashvatam. As long as I think we keep remembering that one again and again, again and again, maybe it's like I totally with you on we keep forgetting. That is the reason why we are, you know, associating. We keep hearing. We keep hearing. Otherwise, one simple statement, one single sloka in Bhagavad Gita is sufficient enough. But repeatedly, because of we are keep forgetting, as Maharaj said, like I believe truly. This maya or dukkha is so powerful, unless until you prove worthy enough to cross that vaitarni, unless until you are proven that you are qualified to serve Krishna, you are not allowed to, because you still have something left behind. So you're still there, you know, be there. So you keep remembering, remind yourself, remind, life after life. Whenever we are, it's like... it's no more, this body is not mine. We never come to that level. I don't think we have to suffer like this. This is the way. This is our nature. We have to take it, work through it. It is not that we discard it suddenly, 1 hour, we feel that spiritually, emotionally enlightened. And
I have to know that I'm not this body. Then, whatever is going on with this body,
keep on.
It's not me. The Prabhupada gave the example, just like the fan, Prabhupada said. Why is the fan going on? He said, because you're in suffering.
Yeah.
It's too hot, so we have to have a fan or AC, which to me is more suffering. Then later it's too cold, so you have to have heat because it's suffering. Everything is, the whole world is arranged with so many things to try to create suffering. What is the moisturizer, skin moisturizer? Why? Because the skin dries out and causes suffering, right?
Even though we listen to this message, we keep complaining about very small things. I mean, it's sometimes it feels...
And that creates suffering again for the next person.
Yeah.
That you're complaining, and the other person, how long do I have to go on listening to her complain and complain?
No, I think the best message you gave it, Maharaj, earlier is I truly take to the heart. That one is, I have experienced it in the last book distribution. The message is very simple. Maharaj has just given. You have a treasure with you. You share the treasure with, your happiness will be doubled. You have a treasure is Krishna with you. It's unlimited treasure. That is where you need not to feel insecure that, okay, if I share this one, I'm going to lose it. No, it is getting doubled. That is where you should be free and give it more. You get more and more. But on the other hand, material side, you cannot give that freely. You cannot give charity like millions of dollars. They are not coming everywhere. So there is a limit there. So you cannot
can give, it's not worth very much.
Yeah.
You give some food, you give some education. Suppose they become educated and they have time and they're happy and this and that. So still they'll die. And then they may come back again to finish up their time of being uneducated and not having enough food and this and that. It doesn't change anything. Superficially, you know, I've changed their gold shackles their iron shackles for gold shackles.
Aren't you providing them opportunity to understand the higher goal?
No, that's not what they use it for. In theory, yes. But now, suppose there's so many... How many of you're giving to some charity? Now they have more time, they have more education. How many of them have taken to Krishna consciousness?
Because I have only been doing it for 2 years. And
2 years and not a single person.
They're small kids, smaller.
And when they become big, come back and tell me the statistics. It'll be the same. Otherwise, if leisure time meant you become Krishna conscious, all of America, so many people would be, you know, every golf course in America would be full of people who were devotees of Krishna. Because they have all that leisure time. They have enough so much leisure time that they can take a little ball and wander around the field trying to put the ball into a hole. So why aren't they Krishna conscious? They're educated. Otherwise they wouldn't be in their position. They have free time. But how many of them are Krishna conscious? It's a sort of a false equation that time plus education equals your spiritual progress. But it doesn't. And even the opposite. Just take a place like Bangalore, where they've got so much more everything, and they're less Krishna conscious. It's not that because they're making more money, because they have more education. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur said that the progress of education makes one more like an ass. Makes one more like an ass.
To survive in this world, we need to survive in this world. So we need to survive in this world, so we need education. So
who says we need
a good combination
it? Who says we need it?
I need to eat. I need my bread. I need to
and you've been miseducated to think that unless you go to college, you can't eat.
I agree.
I went to see one devotee dentist. Now his younger brother is also becoming a dentist, and he told me that by the time he finishes dental school, he'll be $250,000 in debt. $250,000 in debt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
That's your education. That's the first installment. I mean, come to me for education. I'll tell you the first point of education. Never go into debt. And he's starting the result of his education is that he gets his certificate and he gets $250,000 in debt at interest.
So let's not talk about engineering or medicine, which are very expensive. At least we need the basic
education. We've made it overcomplicated. Hare Krishna. We've made it overcomplicated.
Yeah.
Now instead of everybody has who has a little bit of land.
Yeah. Farming and
what farming? They plant grass.
Oh, this one, no, here.
they plant grass and put a fence maybe around it. And then they go to the supermarket to buy food.
Medical group.
But by God's arrangement, you can plant things on your land. And you can eat. But they're so educated that they'll drive 75 miles, they'll complain about the cost of petrol.
Buy the food.
They'll work, you know, all day long. And when you say, why are you working so hard? They'll say, to get food. How can you live without food? And they're working to pay for the petrol, they're working to pay for so many things, for taxes, for petrol, for this, that. And they're turning their back on God's arrangement. You put the food, you put the seeds in the ground, you put some water, which is not a very expensive thing, and you get food. There's a blog written by a Jewish lady, very intelligent lady actually, who was arguing, her argument is in favor of, she'd been actually kind of a very loose teenager, and at a certain point she figured out that her life was going in the wrong direction. And she went to very simple values and became interested in, you know, being like a wife and a mother. And she was explaining to some people who had written to her that they were saying, well, what's wrong with having a career? And then she said, you know, do your math. That now you have to spend to go to work. You have to spend for your transport to go to work. You have to spend money for your work clothes. You have to spend because now you're eating outside, so you have to spend there. You have to spend other in other ways associated with your work. And find you have to pay taxes. You have to go through all of that. And then finally you get your money, which now you can use to pay for childcare. Because you're at work, you never see your children, but you're making money so you can spend it to have someone take care of your children. What kind of, you know, so she's saying you're backwards. I mean, do it if you want, but her argument was, why not, you know, why are you going around the back of your head to touch your nose when you can touch it straight from the front of your face?
So it's a vicious circle. We need to break it somewhere. It, yeah. It is hard.
It's not as hard as we think. We've been fooled into thinking. Even this education is a racket. You know, they falsely advertise that you get this degree and you know, everything will be fine. But they're a business. It's not that these are great philanthropic institutions. They're businesses. They're competing for customers. They're advertising. They're offering deals. And they're hyping the value of what they're selling. I gave a class in our temple in the Lachua, and I said, you know, if you're destined to get money, money will chase you down, whether you have an education or not. And if you're not destined to have money, get all the degrees you want, money will run in the opposite direction. And afterwards, I happened to see one of the devotees who's a disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he, for many years, he was a brahmachari, then he got married, and he was living in Mayapur. Then he came to America and he started a business, which quickly became a million-dollar business. I said to him, "Did you go to college?" He said, "Well, much to my father's dismay, I dropped out in my freshman year to join the temple." So he never did his education. But when he started a business, it had to be a success because he's a Marwadi. So it has to be a $1 million business.
Yeah, but as you earlier mentioned, Maharaj, the greatest example is right in front of us.
Yeah.
Very recently we bought the house. I realized it. First question, before I bought this house, having the fruit trees in whatever the way back in India, because I have a lot of them back in India. First thing about the lawn thing, you mentioned it, having a fence not to cut. The whole idea of this grass thing is so boring. Like, you pay money, you get miracle grow, everything you grow, you cut it, and nobody eats it. So cows don't eat it, nobody eats it. So what is the purpose of real grass there?
It's totally useless. In fact, what I heard, there was one...
That's exactly.
One Indian devotee, he moved to New Jersey, was living at our temple. And one man came and rang on the bell and said, "Could I cut your grass?" He said, "Yeah, sure, cut the grass." So the man cut the grass and then came to him and said, "So now I've cut the grass and it'll cost you this much." He said, "You took my grass and now you're asking me for money?"
It's a concept is reverse. We paid money for the grass back in India for our cattle. We paid, actually. I myself went and cut in the field and get it feed to the cattle every day. Yeah. Now here, it's the other way around. Nobody is just for the sake of show or whatever it is. And that is true, you know. We are making our lives complicated because of many reasons. You know, the House Owners Association doesn't allow to put a particular fruit tree or particular tree in front of your house or particular style of fence you cannot have it. Particular color you cannot have it. So, you know, we are living in a world where we are no more ourselves.
I'll give you another example. One disciple of Satsrup Maharaj was living in Sharanagati in Canada. It's a rural place. So he's got a wife and a couple of kids, so he built a little cabin, you know, simple. And for making money, he was walking around his house. They have a lot of pine trees there. So he picked up some twigs and he polished them and he put a pen point in the twig and he's selling the pen points. And the ferry company saw the local handcrafted things selling like anything. And what is it? It's just, you know, picking up twigs from around his house. The twig costs nothing. The little sandpaper and a little varnish and a pen point. Prabhupada used to say, money is lying in the street. Even Prabhupada used to mention that there's some men of his acquaintance, they're like shopkeepers, and they're turning over lakhs and lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of merchandise. And they're, but the man can't sign his own name. If he has to get a check signed, he has to go to his neighbor and, you know, get it done. But he's turning over lakhs of merchandise, according to his karmas. My sister's got a PhD. She can't make any money. I mean, stays afloat, but it's not that the bigger your degree, the more your income. But we've been tricked. Everybody has to go to college. Now, what happens when you go to college? Your son has to go, your daughter has to go. You send them, and first thing, their character is ruined. By Vedic standards, practically any girl who goes to college is not marriageable. How to drink, how to smoke, how to... And this is education.
But can we incorporate Krishna consciousness here? So right combination of consciousness plus the education?
If you have Krishna consciousness, you have everything. If you want to throw some education on top, you can do that. But it doesn't matter.
So that should be the way to serve the poor people. Throw Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's Rajavidya. That's the king of education.
Yeah.
Now we're saying, but can we have, you know, it's like a $100 bill. But can we get a $5 bill also? You have a $100 bill, why are you wearing 5-10? Rajavidya. The person who's Krishna conscious knows more than all these fools. After, you know, 12 years of secondary education, 4 years of college, so many years of grad school, still he thinks, I'm this body. The goal of life is sense gratification. That means he's fool number one.
Yeah.
And he spent all this money, and he doesn't know ABC. I meet them, you know, big men, big, educated, sophisticated, sitting in big offices, and they're fools. Any devotee could talk to them for 5 minutes and see that the man is a fool. But he's a big fool. You know, he's a certified fool. He's a biggest fool. And he's been bewildered by the material energy into thinking that he, because he's educated or because he has money or because he's got a plaque on his door with his name on it, that he's some sort of a success. He's a failure. He's failing in his mission of life, but because he's got a Porsche or because he's got this or because he's got that, he thinks that his life is successful. He's educated, so he knows that all these Puranas are all mythology. That's now we know from science, blah, 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 blah. He's a bigger fool. No, education, take it or leave it, but this is the best education. If he doesn't have this education, he's a fool. If he has this education and some other education, all right. doesn't make much difference. But if he has that and he doesn't have this, he has nothing. He's Vimutam. Dr. Vimutam, that's the only difference.
But the problem is we cannot have people buy into only having Krishna consciousness. That's not going to.
That's all right. You keep your education, you keep your corporate titles, you keep your Porsche, you keep whatever it is, but you become Krishna conscious.
Yes.
The rest of it is rubbish, but that's all right. As long as you have Krishna consciousness, it doesn't matter. We don't have to convince him that all of the rest of it is rubbish. We know it's rubbish. But anyway, use your rubbish for Krishna. You know, they take art, they make rubbish, they take rubbish and they make art out of it. So take your rubbish, you use your rubbish for Krishna, whether it's your degree or your money or your whatever it is. You use that for Krishna and then it has value.
And again, for the services what you are doing for kids, probably you have to incorporate Krishna consciousness and it has more value probably. So for the services, what the gentleman is doing for the kids,
it actually has no value.
If he incorporates Krishna consciousness in that,
if he incorporates Krishna consciousness in it, then Krishna consciousness has value. The other thing still has no value, but now it has value. Just like if I take this thing and I put $100 in it, this thing is actually worthless. It's worth, you know, a dollar. But now it's very valuable because there's $100 inside. It's still the same worthless pouch.
Yeah.
But now you can say it's worth $100 because there's $100 inside. So actually this philanthropic work he's doing is all useless. No one becomes actually benefited. They become materially benefited, which means not benefited at all. So if along with that he gives Krishna consciousness, now that useless thing has something very valuable in it. It's not that the other thing has become valuable, but because there's Krishna consciousness inside of it, now it's valuable. Now it's valuable. Otherwise, it's useless, actually. It will all be taken away by karma anyway. I can give an example. I've mentioned before. I was on a train in India, and that big earthquake had happened, I guess, in Gujarat. Mm-hmm. And so a lady in the same compartment was a professor. She'd just come from that place, and she'd been, you know, seeing to what was going on. I guess she was working on behalf of the government. Anyway, she was looking into it. And she told me what had happened, that the central government granted a big relief fund. The central government gave it to the state government. The state government gave it to the local government. I said, you don't have to go on with the story. I know what happened. She said, no. She said, actually, everybody got the money in their hand. You know, all these people whose homes were flattened and they're in agony and they had no anything. Everything had been wiped out. And they actually got them. It was like miraculous. They actually got the money in their hand. Then what happened? The liquor wallahs moved in.
Yeah.
You know, all these people are in such agony, so the liquor wallahs moved in and everyone took their money and bought liquor and that was the end of the
finish. Huh? Somebody else became rich.
Somebody else became rich. Because according to their karma, nothing could be done.
Yeah.
So what will a devotee do in that situation, the situation that you explained?
We give Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
Suppose when we give Krishna, we ask everyone, become Krishna conscious. That will solve your actual problems. Every place, everyone's in a disaster. The rich man's life is not free of disaster. His life is a disaster, the middle class is in disaster, the poor people, the whole world is a disaster. Samsara davana leader walk. Everyone's in disaster, but we're walking around and thinking, no, we have this. We're not like these poor people in Africa. But everyone's in disaster. So we're not in the business for adjusting the disasters. Let the Red Cross do it. That's their work. if there's so many philanthropic organizations, let them deal with that. That's not our work. Their work is how to give them food, how to give them clothing. Our work is how to get them out of the material world. Their job is how to give them a more comfortable, how to give them pillows for their prison cell. Our job is how to get them out of prison. So they're not doing our work, why should we do their work? The Red Cross is not going to give people Krishna consciousness. So why should the Krishna conscious devotees do the work of the Red Cross? We're giving the more valuable thing. Harvard University is not giving spiritual education. Why do we have to promote the education given by Harvard University?
But ISKCON still does all these things.
ISKCON may or may not do it. If ISKCON is doing it, it's not because Prabhupada told them to do it. It's in spite of Prabhupada telling them not to do it. Our job is not to go to the disaster. Prabhupada explicitly said, do not go to the disaster areas. That's not our business. They should come to take prasadam at our temple. Because they come to the temple and take prasadam, then they solve their food problem, they solve their every problem. But we go to them to make their life better somewhere, so that we can compete with Sonia Gandhi, you know. These disasters, people are falling all over themselves to, you know, help the needy people and have their picture taken. Even the big problem sometimes at the disaster sites is that the relief workers can't do anything because there's so many people who are trying to crowd in there and have their picture taken doing relief work. So that's not our business.
Yeah, I think the greatest example we can remember here, this one, is the Prabhupada statement here itself. When Prabhupada was first asked, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, saying about participating in the movement, he said, this is the freedom time, let me fight for the country first and then I'll come and join after the fact, and kind of, and then outrightly, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, you know, that's not what you are supposed to do. You are supposed to be, this is the first time it's been there. You know, this disaster, war, whatever it is, it comes and goes, kind of thing. It is not what it is, our job. So it's outrightly rejected, and that idea of...
And now life in India is better.
it's a kind of... that's a beautiful one.
Yeah, Prabhupada's a very good example. Yeah, Prabhupada had the idea, you know, to work for the freedom struggle.
Yeah.
Who will listen to our India? We're a dependent country. And Prabhupada said, I was defeated by my Guru Maharaj. He convinced me that this was the really urgent work. Spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the real work.
Maharaj, I have one more question. In general, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu...
Excuse me, just while I'm thinking of it. If you distribute one book to one person, you did more than Harvard University did in a year. Raja Vidya, Raja Vidya. Yes.
Prabhuji, I'm sorry, Maharaj. In general, the teaching of all the devotees would say to be humble to other people, to be there in a service attitude. But sometimes when we are in the service attitude, people make a use of us. I mean, rather than they try to extract the most of us, and then they'll try to exploit us. So
that's all right. Take our books. Take our prasadam. Exploit us as much as you want. Visit our website. Don't give us anything. But it's not that because we're devotees we have to be fools in ordinary activities. For Krishna consciousness, you can exploit us as much as you want. You can milk us. We don't mind. But it's not that because we're devotees in ordinary affairs we have to roll over and play dead.
So how do we handle such situations? like when somebody is trying to exploit this in non-spiritual activities, like.
And Chanakya Pandit says, with the cunning, you should be cunning.
But that sometimes leaves a guilty feeling in the back of your mind.
Prabhupada told the story about Narad Muni and the snake. You know about the story? The Narad Muni, he's always making people devotees. So on one occasion, he made a serpent into a devotee. But he made him into a disciple. But he instructed the serpent that now that you've become a Vaishnav, you shouldn't bite anyone. So the serpent agreed, and Narad Muni went on. Then sometime again he came back, and the serpent complained that now I've become a Vaishnav and I'm not biting. But all the boys are taking advantage of me, they're throwing stones at me because they know that I won't bite. So Narad Muni said, that's all right, you shouldn't bite, but that doesn't mean you can't raise your hoods like you're going to bite.
Just like hissing, hissing and making.
What about people who loathe us? I mean, what about people who loathe us and who are so jealous of us when we are in the midst of those people?
People who?
Who are very jealous of us.
Huh?
And who envy us and who loathe us for no reason. So what?
Who do what for no reason?
Loathe us
for no reason. Let them be envious. Tanaham dushitar kruram sang sarishin. People who loathe us are the people who love us. It's the same. Materially, you'll get me in trouble if you envy me, you'll get me in trouble if you love me. If you love, I think, then oh, so nice, and I become materially attached. And if you hate me, then I become so bitter because you don't appreciate me. So this is the material duality. Tulya priya priyo dhiras tulya nindatma samastutihi. Krishna says we should be equal. Shouldn't be carried away when someone says, oh, you're so nice, you're so great, you did such a wonderful thing, and geez, you're the best. And we begin, oh, yes. But Krishna says, no, remain sober. And if they say, you're a skunk, and you're... we don't care about that either. I'm not this body. Dhira. Dhira Sashim. Excuse me, while I'm thinking of it. Our business is to go on chanting Hare Krishna. We go on chanting Hare Krishna, we won't be affected. So what? We're sorry they're envious of us for the wrong reason. They should be envious of us because we're Krishna conscious.
But on the other hand, in the little experience I have with Krishna conscious after I came, I don't know about all our people are like that, but I don't know, the positive look we have towards them and have a nice smile and talk to them, the response is also positive.
Yeah, you do good for them, although they're envious. Give them prasadam, give them books, give them something.
Exactly. Like, I think their response is also
Prahlad Maharaj was even trying to do good for his father, who was the biggest demon. So the devotee tries to do good for everyone. Dhira dhira jana priyo. Goswamis, everyone loved them. They were just concerned with the welfare of others. Something?
I want to get an input from you. Like, another Pishwani Janata, and also Sarvapadi Binirmukta, Tatparatamangalam, Vishikan Vishikesh Shabbat, Bhakti. So, these two verses are similar in one.
Srinathapi Suni Chena. They go together. I mean, they're not necessarily linked, but we assume that every verse links to every other verse. When we're freed from upadis, then kirtaniya sadahari, then we can be humble. We're puffed up by these upadis. Sarva upadi. I'm a PhD, I'm head of the corporation, I'm chief garbage collector, whatever it is. And we become proud. So Sarvapati Vinirmukta, become free. Then Trinadapi Suni Chena Tirodapi Sihishna.
So is that
Trinadapi
does it mean that in we feel that we are this body? Is this also a designation?
That we're pillar of this body, that's the big designation. That's the source of all the other designations.
So that's why now the reason I ask, you know, because that Prabhupada used to mention that verse, you know. Dashatmika Buddhi Kunapetri Dhatuke. Prabhupada has mentioned so many times this verse.
Yes. Sadhi Kalashadi Shubhomi Jati.
How do we perform all the duties required of the body and of living in such an artificial place as Richmond?
Richmond.
While not keeping this designation that I am the body.
Richmond or Poormond or any place, the same. By chanting. Tat Pratena Nirmalam. Our consciousness will be purified. Without chanting, I'll think I'm this body, I'll think so many things. It's like anything. The mirror will get dirty in Richmond, it'll get dirty in Vrindavan, it'll get dirty anywhere. It has to be regularly cleaned then. So our cleaning process is Hare Krishna chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And wherever we are, we can try to live simply, keep our necessities to the minimum, not unnecessarily complicate our life. And save our time hearing and chanting. If you have a television, throw it out. That's key. We become educated and then we have a lot of spare time. And then we sit in front of a machine. And the machine sucks up the rest of our life. We sit there and have the privilege of having nonsense beamed at us along with commercial propaganda, because now we have leisure time and our heads can be filled with all rubbish and our children can be exposed to every kind of... You've probably all seen the statistics, how many murders and robberies and rapes and everything a kid has seen on television by the time he's reached 13. How many hours of his life he's spent. And we pay money to have that thing in our house. And have it rob our time. And we're educated.
We don't have to be educated to get addicted to TV much.
That's
India,
true.
Everyone watches TV now.
Yeah, when I was on Padayatra, this is 1985, 86, we would go to some small village and they're having, you know, these simple huts with an antenna on top.
That's the relaxation they want at the end of the day.
That's their misfortune.
Yeah, exactly. They get addicted to that kind of relaxation.
Yeah, I was in Vrindavan. I looked out the window in our next to our Krishna Balaram temple. There was a field there, a little construction going on. And it's early evening, and the workers are sitting around on some, pieces of stone left from the construction. And I thought, oh, Vrindavan, they're sitting discussing Krishna Katha. No, they had a television set up, and they're watching a cricket match or whatever it was. Misfortune. Kalir Satvaharam Pumsa. Kali Yuga deteriorates all the finer qualities of human life. There's a very good book. Our Aruta Devi Dasi has written a book on homeschooling. Her two sons were educated at home. They never went to high school at all. Just home educated and no television, and they both went to Oxford University when they decided they wanted to go to school. But by then, it was too late for Maya to catch up with them, because they'd been taught at home, or they learned to read from Srimad Bhagavatam. Very good book. Just came in. Something else?
Okay. Maharaj, you were in Africa now, doing so much in the service for Prabhupada.
Africa, we've started a BBT division, BBT Africa. So we're publishing in English, Zulu, Swahili, Xhosa. There's lots and lots of languages. We're trying to increase. There's about 50 countries in Africa. We're active in about 14 of them. Krishna consciousness movement. West Africa, we have very active centers. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj started things very strongly there. East Africa also, in Kenya, in Uganda, South Africa. Radhastami, we're opening a center in Botswana. Well, good place, Africa.
What exactly is the reason that they're suffering so much, Maharaj, with having so many natural resources?
On account of their karma. They must.
I was reading somewhere Congo can provide food for entire world until 2050.
Yeah, they have so much in the way of natural resources. That's their misfortune everywhere also, because then
they don't have food to eat for themselves.
Well, every foreign power wants to grab their resources, wants their land, wants their minerals, wants their petroleum.
Yeah, especially minerals. They have the biggest diamond mine in the world. That's the only place where they have, and people still trying for it.
Diamonds, gold, petroleum.
Everywhere. I was reading in the same article, Congo itself has $24 trillion worth of minerals, which is equal to the GDP of US and Europe combined.
Yeah. Therefore, all of these foreign powers are in various ways trying to grab African resources. Unlimited greed, proxy wars, so many things. That's been the history of Africa for a long time, with Europe and America want, and other places want to grab their resources. But people are receptive, yes. West Africa, most of our temples are manned almost entirely by Africans themselves, not by Indians. They're the pujaris, they're the cooks, they're the managers. They're doing very nicely. Radha Krishna deities, big Radha Krishna deities, big temples. Doing very nicely. If anyone's looking for adventure and excitement, come preach in Africa. Come on, you're welcome.
I always wanted to visit Africa.
Come on.
Fortunately, I too, but that's also my child wish, actually. As a boy, also, I used to love to go to Africa, you know, claim this kind of some. But a different reason, not Krishna conscious related, but I wanted to kind of, their wilderness, I like it too much to be like that.
Yeah, still there's wilderness there. The cities are pretty wild also.
Yeah, I see.
But there's vast scope for spreading Krishna consciousness. We're trying to print books as many as possible. Some of the countries, their economy is not very good, so we have to help them as far as possible. I have a whole slideshow about it, but don't think we should have time. State of Hare Krishna movement in Africa. Lively place. And there are a lot of African people are coming up now, middle class and educated. So it's actually very good. Other people can educate them, and then we'll give them Krishna consciousness. But even if they're not educated, we'll give them Krishna consciousness.
Bhagavad Gita, from the beginning, it is told that Krishna was telling about that you are not this body, you are the spirit soul. How to remember 24 hours this?
By practice, abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nirgamana. By practice, abhyasa. Rise early in the morning, chant 16 rounds. Follow four regular principles. Offer, just take Krishna prasadam, avoid anything else. And give to others. And you'll be thinking, if you're always thinking how to give Krishna consciousness to others, then you'll naturally you'll be always thinking of Krishna. The challenge is how you're going to spread it outside the Indian community. There's a task for you. To give this to other Indians, that's easy street.
Yes.
You know, that's easy. That's like taking candy from a baby. It's too easy. So, but if you think that, like Prabhupada came here, there were no Indians really at the time. So he came to a field where, you know, he wasn't going to go around to the pious Indian businessmen and take a donation and say some nice things. He's thinking how these Western people could become Krishna conscious. So now you have everything. You have education, you have money, you have prestigious position, you have good jobs, good position in society. But with all of that, if you don't spread Krishna consciousness, then what is the use of all of that? These are all advantages for spreading Krishna consciousness. That you're educated, you have good positions, well-to-do, you're not in the poor house. And because you come from India, people think you know something. You could be the biggest fools, but because you're coming from India, people think you must know something about spiritual life. That idea is there.
Yeah.
So you have all the advantages. So now with all those advantages, You just have to do something, make the effort. Think about how to give people these books, how to give people this philosophy. Simple thing, invite them to your house, give them some prasadam, talk to them about Krishna. By one scheme or another scheme, one excuse or another excuse, tell them about Krishna. Give them a book about Krishna. Give them the mantra. Give them Krishna consciousness in some way or another. Otherwise, what are we doing? Misers. Then we're misers. We're keeping it to ourselves. So don't be misers. Be generous. And more than generous, be aggressively generous. You know, how these people can... You don't have to send money to foreign countries to help people. Poor beggars are here in America, people who don't know the purpose of life, despite their advantages. So, aggressively be generous. And strain your brain. How can I get these people to wake up? Books especially, prasadam. We have all the ammunition, all the artillery, everything is there. Just have to make the effort.
I request if you can come every year to supply us more and more ammunition so that we can.
As Krishna may desire. But don't wait for me to show up. You have enough resources. If I sometimes come, then you should have a lot to show. Maybe next time I'll come, there'll be, you know, half Indian, half...
There's a plan and 5 years later, because when you just tell me...
good.
I know it's the only thing.